We started learning this sicha last week. This is the sicha of Parshas Shoftim. Say, amongst all the sichas from the Rebbe on the topic of Mashiach and Geula, the sicha of this parsha this week, Shoftim, stands out. And as I told the students here last week, that this book that was recently published, which is translating the sicha from Yiddish to Hebrew, and they did another amazing thing, was that all the references, where the Rebbe makes reference to different sources, they bring the entire quote from the source, so you can learn everything from everything that's mentioned in the sicha, and the sources can be studied from inside. It's a long sicha, a lot of details, and the main thrust of the sicha is where the Rebbe says that this message about Geula is being said as a prophecy, and the whole idea that there's prophecy today, and that the Rebbe is a Navi, and so on. We got up to page 22, and today we should be continuing. We're missing a few lines from page 22. But before we do that, I want to give you just a little introduction. And that is that we've now entered the month of Elul, and that's the month, as you see, the date on the sicha is Shabbos Pasha Shoftim, Zayin Elul, the seventh day in Elul. And that's basically the historic date where the Rebbe came and said that this message about Mashiach is a prophecy, is a nevuah. And it's also interesting that the first time that the Rebbe began to quote the Yalkut Shemoni, which implies that the situation in Eretz Yisrael, and at that time it was known as the Persian Gulf Crisis, isn't an ordinary event, but that this is where Hashem will give the message through Mashiach to the Yidden that don't worry, don't panic, you should know that what's happening is all because Hegi Zman Geulaschem, the time of your redemption has arrived. Even though we know the Rebbe mentioned this Medrash hundreds of times, but the first time that the Rebbe mentioned it, when did it all begin? It also began Shabbos Mevarchim Chodesh El. It's the Shabbos Mevarchim of the month of El. So I just want to say as an introduction that the month of El has a very interesting record, so to speak, of major events happening in this month that are all related to Mashiach and Geula, and especially in connection to Chassidus. As we know, that Chai Elul, that's the day that the Baal Shem Tov was born, and Chai Elul, 26 years later, is the day that the Baal Shem Tov began to study Chassidus with Achi HaShiloini, and he studied with him for 10 years, and was the exact same day of Chai Elul that the Baal Shem Tov became Nizgala, became revealed, and began to teach Chassidus to the world. And we know that the fact that Chassidus became revealed and the Baal Shem Tov came into this world is all part of the process of bringing Mashiach, because that's what brings Mashiach when Pnimius HaTorah, when the hidden part of Torah becomes revealed. And then we know that the Alter Rebbe, who was the founder of Chassidus Chabad, and everything we have today began with the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe was also born exactly on the same day, Chai Elul, also in the month of Elul. In addition to that, the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Rebbe of Chabad, was also born in the month of Elul. That's the day of Choftes Elul. In addition to that, we say that the Alter Rebbe is the founder of Chassidus Chabad. And the Rebbe explains in many places that Chassidus Chabad is not only a continuation of the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, but actually this is the main area, so to speak, where the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov manifest. And the Rebbe explains it in the following way. There's a famous Zohar where it says in the Zohar that Eliyahu HaNavi said to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, the author of the Zohar, he said to him that when your teachings, the teachings of Chassidus, revealed in the world, that's going to be the time that Mashiach is going to come. And he said to him, it'll be in such a time, it'll be such common knowledge, even children will have the knowledge. And then there's a word that he uses in Hebrew, the isparnasin minei. The isparnasin minei literally means they'll have parnasa from it. So the Mefarshim, those commentaries on Zohar, explains, they explain that this means not only will the teachings of Zohar be revealed, but it'll be like food, meaning to say it'll be understood and explained in a logical way. So the Rebbe says that the essence of the Zohar being revealed, and the same with Chassidus being revealed, is dafke when it's revealed in a way that it could be digested intellectually. And this was accomplished by the Alter Rebbe. And where did the Alter Rebbe accomplish this? Mainly and generally in Tanya. As we know, Tanya is called Torah Shebiksav of Chassidus. And from Tanya came everything else. Now the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe originally didn't want to print Tanya. I just want to point out to the connection to the month of Elul. Initially the Alter Rebbe did not want to publish the Tanya. And the Chassidim asked the Alter Rebbe to publish it, and he refused. And finally there was an incident, which because of this incident the Alter Rebbe agreed. Without going into too many details, but the incident was that it was discovered that there were people who were opponents of Chassidim, that they actually distorted words, and that they printed the Tanya themselves. It was not printed in those days. It was copies given out. They made copies, but they changed certain words. And by doing that, they succeeded in discrediting Tanya, because it appeared as if the author, the Alter Rebbe, wrote things which were against Torah. And once it was brought out 100% that people are actually distorting the Tanya, that's when the Alter Rebbe agreed to print it. And even then, he said he'll agree only on the condition that two other tzaddikim, namely Reb Zusha of Anapola, and another great tzaddik whose name is Reb Yehuda Leib HaKoyen, they will give their consent. And if they give their consent, then the Alter Rebbe says, I'll give my green light and the Tanya will be printed. So we know that there were a few chassidim that went to these two great tzaddikim, and they both gave their consent. And in fact, their consent is printed in the beginning of the Tanya. And once that happened, that's when the printing of the Tanya began. So the date is actually, if you look at the bottom, it says, doesn't say the day of the month, but it says it's Parshas Kisavei. In other words, it's at the end of the month of Elul. So again, besides Alter Rebbe being born in Elul, and the Baal Shem Tov being born in Elul, and Chassidus being begun to be taught in Elul, Tanya, which is the source of Chassidus Chabad, also began to be published in the month of Elul. And as we know that there's so many sikhs from the Rebbe about Temchi Tmimim, the yeshiva that the Rebbe Rashab established over 100 years ago, was also a major step in advancing and publicizing the teachings of Chassidus in the world, Chayilei Beis David. And when was the yeshiva established? Also on the 15th day of Elul, and they started the studies on Chayel. And the truth is, there are a lot of other things that happened in the history of development of Chassidus, dafke in the month of Elul. And it's interesting to point out, the Rebbe once spoke about the fact that we find a nevuah, prophecy, which was given on the first day of Elul. And this prophecy was given to Zechariah, so that tells you where it is in the Navi. And the prophecy was that the time has now come to go and build the second Beis HaMikdash. So, in a sense, the history that Elul has to do with Geula and the building of the Beis HaMikdash and everything that follows begins yet from Zechariah, from the times of the Navi. And I guess we can add another thing, even though it's not Elul, but it's the same time of the year, the Baal Shem Tov, the famous story of the Baal Shem Tov, that he had Aliyas and Neshama, and he asked Melech HaMashiach, Amos Aikosi Mar, and Mashiach answered, when will I come? When your wellsprings will be spread out. When did that happen? That happened on the night of Rosh Hashanah. So we see that this is the time of the year that throughout history, major events happened in terms of the development of getting closer to Mashiach. So therefore, we have to take advantage of this time. And I think this can also be added to the list, that this is the time where the Rebbe spoke clearly that there's prophecy today, and that Mashiach already has his prophecy, and it's all part of a preparation for Geula. Because when Mashiach comes, every one of us is going to have prophecy. V'nivu b'neichem v'bnei seichem. So let me start now. We'll do it from inside. And like I said, we have a few lines we're missing on page 22. That copy didn't come out. So you have page 23 in front of you. Let me just say orally what it says in a few lines before that. The Rebbe says that after he gave the explanation, which we studied last week, that in every generation there are people who are Nevi'im, that are actually prophets. And they have Nevuah, they have the power of prophecy. So the Rebbe says that in our generations, in the recent generations, these are the Rabbeim. In fact, the Rambam writes that he has a tradition that he received from his father, received it from his father, from his father. And by the way, the Rambam's family was from the kingdom of Melech, David HaMelech. And the tradition was all the way back to the times when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. The tradition was that there's going to come a time prior to Mashiach that Tachzer Nevuah LiYisrael, that prophecy will come back to the Yidden like it was in the olden days. And the Rebbe says that is, that return of prophecy is what we witnessed, the Baal Shem Tov and all the Rabbeim in their generations, the fact that they actually revealed to us things like the prophets of the days before. That's where we're up to. And one of the most powerful statements is actually footnote 97. You only have half of it on page 23, so I'll tell you what it says in the beginning. The Rebbe quotes from the Tzemach Tzedek, that the Tzemach Tzedek said that the Baal Shem Tov was so amazing that even generations before there weren't people like the Baal Shem Tov that did such amazing things and performed such amazing miracles. And the Tzemach Tzedek said, I heard from my grandfather, the Alter Rebbe, that the Baal Shem Tov and the Mezritch Magid were able to see from one end of the world to the other end of the world, not in some sort of a spiritual vision, but literally with their eyes, they were able to see, and they would tell their students what they see happening at the other end of the world. And the reason is because it says in the Medrash, when Hashem created the world, the light was so brilliant that with this light you can see from one end to the other end. And Hashem said that the world is not worthy yet of having such a light. So Hashem concealed that light. Where did he conceal it? In the Torah. So those tzaddikim who have the true access to this light in Torah have the ability to see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. And the Tzemach Tzedek concludes, that's the Baal Shem Tov and the Magid. And me too, he said, I heard from my own grandfather where he spoke about the future, and it was accurate to the absolute precise detail, Kelei al Asaira, to the hair. I mean, there's a story that I think everybody heard at least once, if not 10 times. So if you did, tonight will be the 11th time. That's why I'm not going to go into the details, just the general story. I think everyone has heard it probably. But this is an example of what it means to tell us a prophecy, al Asaira, that's on target to the hair. There's a famous story of the Baal Shem Tov where he was teaching his students and everyone who came to him how important it is to say Baruch Hashem. And someone came to him, he was a wealthy person, and he asked him if he needs a bracha, and he said, not necessarily, everything is fine, he has money, he has everything he needs. And he forgot to say Baruch Hashem. And the Baal Shem Tov said, I want to give you a letter, if you can do me a favor and deliver this letter to this person. And the letter was supposed to be delivered to someone called Reb Tzadok, who lived in a big city called Brod. And the person put the letter in his pocket. Somehow he forgot about the letter. And as time went on, he began to lose money in business. And eventually he lost everything. And it was going on like this for a number of years in poverty. And then came a point where he was selling whatever he had, and he wanted to sell a coat. Before he sold the coat, he was checking the lining, the pockets, and he felt something there. And he realized that the pocket seemingly had a hole. I think that's the way the story goes. And the envelope fell from the pocket into the lining, and he pulled it out. This was the envelope he was supposed to deliver 10 years ago, exactly 10 years later. And he was beside himself how he forgot and how he didn't follow the Baal Shem Tov's orders. So he ran to the city, seemingly he wasn't far away, and he asked around Where could he find the head of the community, Reb Tzadik? And people said, yeah, he was just elected today as the head of the community. And he came to this person and he said to him, I have a letter for you from the Baal Shem Tov. And he said, how could that be? Baal Shem Tov is no longer alive. He said, he gave it to me 10 years ago. And of course, it sounded ridiculous. He said, no, it's addressed to Reb Tzadik, the head of the community. He said, but I was just elected today. I don't know, this is the letter. He opened the letter, and the letter starts off saying, Mazel Tov, for being elected the head of the community on this day. In order for you to be convinced that this letter is true, I'm giving you another Mazel Tov. Before you finish reading it, you'll get the news that your wife just gave birth to a child. And before he finished the letter, he got the news. I think this would a little bit describe, what does it mean, Nevuah, prophecy to the hair. He sent the letter, and it reached that person. Not just it reached the right person in the right time of the year, on the day that he was elected, and it was in between the two Mazel Tovs, exactly. That's called a prophecy, and the Rebbe is saying, this is clear prophecy. And this is what we saw with all the Rabbeim. So now let's start with the top of page 23, and here we'll read inside. So the Rabbeim of our generations, Hain, I'm reading now from page 23, Hain Sheftayich, they are the judges, because they are Nesiyenu. The Rebbe in this Sikha discusses the two Lashonis, Sheftim and Yoyatzim. In the Parsha it says, Sheftim v'Sheitrim, judges and policemen. But in the prophecy about the time of Mashiach, it says, "Vashiva sheftayich kvarishayna, v'yatzayich kvatchila." That I will give you back your judges and your advisors, like we have in davening. One of the brachas are "Hashiva shefteini kvarishayna, v'yatzayini kvatchila." Give us back our judges and give us back our advisors. And the Rebbe explained last week that. And when Mashiach comes, you won't need policemen, because everybody will be ready to listen. But in addition to the judges, you'll also need advisors. And what is the difference? A judge is someone who gives a verdict, gives a ruling from higher up. And an advisor is someone who brings it down to your level, like a person who gives you advice, explains things to you, and brings it to you in a way that you can see it from your perspective. So the Rebbe is saying, the Rabbeim, our Rabbeim, they were the Shefet and the Navi. Sheftayich, because that's what a Nasi is. A Nasi is someone who is above you. And they're also teachers of Torah, so they're judges. But they're also Yoetzayich. They're also advisors. Hanesnin, Eitzes, Binyoni, Teiri, Shemayim. They have always given us advice in subjects that relate to Torah and how to lead my life in a God-fearing way. So people would always ask a Rebbe, how do I improve in this area and in that area spiritually? Ad gam eitzes binyam and gashmim. The Rabbeim also give us advice about gashmius, what we should do for parnasa, for health, things that are just materialistic things. Inyan ha-Nevi'im, and this is specifically something that's connected to Nevi'im. To understand these words, that advice for gashmius is more related to a Navi than Ruchnius, let's look at footnote 101. There's a chapter in Tanya, in Egeres HaKodesh, chapter is the fourth volume of Tanya, and it's Perek Chav Beis. In that chapter of Tanya, it's a chapter where the Alter Rebbe is rebuking the Chassidim. And he's saying to them, why are you coming to me and asking me questions about Gashmius? Who ever heard of such a thing? In other words, if you would come to me about questions about your learning, about your davening, about how to grow spiritually, how to overcome certain spiritual faults, these are things which Alter Rebbe says he's prepared to answer. But to come to me with questions about Gashmius, that belongs exclusively to a Navi. Let me read the words inside. Here you can see it at the bottom of page 23, where it says Ha'ara 101. Lies minig v'tikun lishal beitza gashmius. The Alter Rebbe here is rebuking them that they're coming to ask for gashmius. Ma las is what to do b'nyanei ha'olam ha'gashmi, about gashmius is a good thing. These are questions that should be addressed only l'nevi'im mamish, to a Navi. Asher hayu lefanim b'Yisrael, that the Yidden used to have, k'shmuel haraya, like Shmuel the Navi. Asher halach elav Shaul, Shaul HaMelech came to him. What did he come to ask? Lidreish Hashem al dvar ha'aseinah shenevdolavim. His father lost donkeys, and he wanted to know where these donkeys are, how he can find them. So he went to the Navi to find out how can he get these donkeys. In other words, they went to the Navi to help them with Gashmis. Ki be'emes kol inyanei adam, all the things that relate to a person basically are all about Ruchnius, about medivrei Torah Yishmaim, all the things besides Torah and Yiddishkeit, it's all are able to perceive it only with Nevuah. V'loy lechachamim lechem k'mayim razal, hako b'dei Shemaim chutz m'dei Shemaim. So really, everything has to go through a Navi when it comes to the Gashmiyus of things. And the Alter Rebbe says, therefore, don't ask me these questions. Footnote 101, on the bottom of 23. Now, here the Rebbe is quoting from the Alter Rebbe. We'll turn the page first. Zichru yamei seilam. Let's turn the page. Ei eifei metzasam. Where did you ever see or find minig zeh such a custom? Lireis minig v'tikun lishol beitze gashmiyus, to go ask about gashmiyus. This was done only for Nevi'im. So in other words, this seems to be a contradiction. Doesn't this prove that the Alter Rebbe was not a Navi and the Rabbeim are not Nevi'im? Because the Alter Rebbe says that this question should be addressed only to a Navi. Now, this is how the Rebbe explains it. Mikol Mokam Yidua, it's known. Shala'achrei Zeh, after the Alter Rebbe wrote this letter, Niskablu Eitzel Atmer HaZaken, the Alter Rebbe himself, but Abiseinu Nisinu, all the other Rabbeim who were their successors, Shalu Chassidim B'yonin Gashmim. Chassidim came to ask them questions about Gashmis. V'ona Aleihem, and the Alter Rebbe answered them. In other words, being that the Alter Rebbe says questions for Gashmis is only for a Navi, and the Chassidim persisted, they kept asking questions, and the Alter Rebbe answered it. So in a sense, the Alter Rebbe himself, by doing that, acknowledge that he's a Navi. This same letter, which some people would like to use to prove that the Alter Rebbe is not a Navi, is actually, the Rebbe says, this is the proof that he was a Navi, because the Alter Rebbe said questions in Gashmiyus is only for a Navi, and the Chassidim didn't stop asking questions even after this letter, and the Alter Rebbe answered them when they asked the questions. That means the Alter Rebbe testifies whoever answers questions about Gashmiyus, he has the power of prophecy. But the letter, the Alter Rebbe was discouraging people to ask him questions about Gashmiyus. But the Chassidim weren't discouraged. The Alter Rebbe says, don't come to me, and the Chassidim came anyway. Just like a Rebbe would say, don't come to me in the first place. I don't want to have the position of leadership. And the Chassidim persist and say, no, we want you to be our Melech. So here too, the Alter Rebbe was saying, don't come to me, it's only for a Navi. And the Chassidim didn't stop. But the fact that the Alter Rebbe answered it after he made a public declaration that this is only for a Navi, that means that he acknowledged and in a sense made it known that what he's doing is what a Navi does. Many people pointed out, this is an interesting observation, that some people, when it comes to the question of the Rebbe, whether the Rebbe was happy with the fact that we said he's Mashiach or not happy about it, whether the Rebbe approved of it or not. So the proof that he approved it is because here we sang the Nigin Yechi in the Rebbe's presence, and the Rebbe constantly urged us to sing more. That's the biggest proof. Besides all the other things that went on, how in the Sichas himself, the Rebbe himself writes that the Rebbe of each generation is Mashiach, and Mashiach's name is Menachem, and all the other things. But one of the things which is interesting, many people bring that in the year Tavshin Mem Hei, which now we're talking about 16 years ago, almost 17 years ago, Simchas Torah, the Rebbe gave a very strong sicha that you shouldn't say that he's Mashiach. And that was in connection to singing a song about the Rebbe being Mashiach. So it's true, the Rebbe did that 16 years ago, but just like in this sicha, that even makes it stronger, the fact that later the Rebbe not only accepted the song, but encouraged the singing. Just like with the Alter Rebbe. Initially, when the Alter Rebbe said to the Chassidim, don't come to me, this is for a Navi. So therefore, later when the Chassidim came, and the Rebbe continued to answer, that was even stronger proof that he's a Navi. Why the Rebbe before said no and later less is simply because the time has changed. Just like when the Rebbe initially was approached to become the Rebbe in the first place, he also said no. This is a longer discussion, but the main point is that the power of Malchus, the power of kingdom in a tzaddik, in a melech, comes from the people. In fact, we're approaching Rosh Hashanah now. When you study Chassidus about Rosh Hashanah, it'll explain to us that the whole theme of Rosh Hashanah is that we coronate, we crown Hashem as a king. And that's what it's all about. This is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. For example, on Rosh Hashanah, everyone knows that you go to the water and you say Tashlich. Everyone knows the reason is because you throw out your sins from your pocket. But if you look in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, even if someone is not the greatest scholar, in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch it says there's another reason, because on Rosh Hashanah we crown Hashem as a king, and the place where kings are crowned is near the water. And that's why we always add the word Hamelech. Right now, as we're approaching the davening, we'll be learning in the halachas that we change a number of words in davening. Instead of Hakel HaKadosh, we say Hamelech HaKadosh. Instead of Ayav Zdok HaMishpat, we say Hamelech HaMishpat. And we use the word Melech a lot because we're crowning Hashem as a Melech. Hashem needs us to tell him that he's a king. So the answer is the attribute of kingdom can only be revealed and activated by the recipient bringing it out and accepting it. So the same is with a melech, meaning with a rebbe. That the rebbe is a rebbe because he's qualified to be a rebbe, but the chassidim, by accepting the rebbe, bring out that malchus. So the first year, the rebbe also refused to hear and he wouldn't accept the chassidim. And there were other rebbes, the rebbe Rashab didn't accept the chassidim for 10 years, and they persisted and they insisted and they begged and they pleaded. And other rabbeim was less than 10 years, but this was the way it always was, because we bring it out. So therefore, there was a time when the Rebbe didn't acknowledge it, and then there was a time the Rebbe did acknowledge it, and the same is with Mashiach. That wasn't the time for it yet. Okay, so let's continue now the Sicha. I'm going back to the top of the page 23. Befrat, Aidei HaGilui, the Teres HaChsidus Chabad, through Chabad Chassidus, which is bringing down Chassidus in Chochma Bina Das, in Avonah Basoga, brings it down intellectually, in a way that even the Seichel, the intellect of the animal soul, could comprehend and understand it, which is the idea of Eitzah, that's like advice. When you give someone advice, you're not giving a command, you're giving them something which they can understand, and they could relate to, and they could see it from their perspective. That's mainly through the gilui of Pnimis HaTorah Chabad B'Seichel. Let's turn the page, Ad Ba'ifen, page 24. The Torah Chaim Zochu. Maybe I'll just read it directly in English. You can follow me in the Hebrew, so we'll move a little bit quicker. Through tasting, it says Torah Chaim Zochu, that before Mashiach comes, we'll be tasting, we'll have a foretaste of the things that'll happen later. So that's why we now have already the Gili of Pnimis HaTorah being revealed. And this is a preparation where Mashiach will teach the whole world in a much higher way, in a deeper way, the deeper part of Torah. In connection to all this, there's more that has been added in our generation, and that is, we're living in a time now that we already have the completion of Yafutzu Ma'inasecha Chutzu. The wellsprings are spread all over, literally in every part of the world, in a way that everyone can understand it. In other words, Chassidus has now been presented in different languages and been simplified that everyone can understand it. Page 25. And Chassidus came out, Chutzu, also translated in different languages. The Rebbe says Russian, and we know Tanya today is translated in Russian, translated in English, translated in French, in Arabic, and all sorts of languages. And in all these areas, it's only advancing, it's developing more and more, spreading to more places. In fact, I remember that everyone spoke about the fact that Tanya is taught on the radio. If Chassidus has to spread to the whole world, once it goes into the area of radio waves, it goes to a place that it never went before. There was such a thing as radio waves. In fact, radio waves go who knows how far out in space. So it means Chassidus goes really chutzah, goes outside of planet Earth. And recently the Rebbe says another thing happened, that recently Tanya was printed, page 26, 27 rather, was printed in Braille, which made it accessible to people who are, Rachman al-Islan, blind. And the Rebbe spoke about this just 2 weeks earlier, how this is bringing Chassidus to the place where it never was before, that even people who, Rachman al-Islan, don't have the ability to see, and they live in that place of darkness, Tanya was made accessible to them, that they can also get it out of a sefer, not just someone teaching it to them orally. And even though it's only Tanya, but as we know, Tanya is the written Torah of Chassidus, all of Chassidus is included in the Sefer of Tanya. And based on the announcement of the Friedeker Rebbe, that we already finished all the Avodah, and also this Avodah, that we already have the Rabbeim, that they were our judges and our advisors, it's understood that the time has come that we now have to see the fulfillment of this prophecy where Hashem says, I will give you back your judges and your advisors as it was before. In other words, the fact that we have the Rabbeim, this is like a beginning of fulfillment of that prophecy. So from this it's understood. Now the Rebbe goes to the practical part, where it says Yud Aleph on page 28. From this it's understood that what should be learned from this for every single one of us, as we stand in Parsha Shoftim, in our generation, and especially in the recent times, and especially in these last moments of Golus, that we have to do an Avodah now which is consistent with Geula, and that is to publicize for yourself and to all those that you could reach, that they should accept upon themselves even more the teachings and the advice of the judge and the advisor of our generation, which, number one, these are the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim are the advisor and the judge of the generation in general, and especially Nasi Dareinu, the Nasi of our generation, that he comes as a continuation of all the Rabbeim and all the Nasiim that preceded him. Page 29. And like it says in the Torah, Navi Okim Lehem Mikerev Acheyem Kamecha, that Hashem says, I will point a Navi, and it will be just like you, like Moshe Rabbeinu, and you should listen to everything that he says. So from this we learn from the Rambam, and this is all what we should publicize to the world, that if there is someone that has the milus, the qualities, and this perfection that you need to become a Navi, and that person shows wonders and miracles, as we've seen it with the brachas of Nasi Dareinu, we don't believe in him because we saw miracles. We don't believe in him because we saw amazing things. We believe in him because the Torah told us that when you see someone performing these kind of miracles, you should believe in him. And these are the kind of miracles we saw by the Rebbe. And therefore, this means that he's like a Navi, that we have to believe in him. We say to Mizeh, more so, that there are certain times where a Navi has to perform miracles in order for us to believe that he's a Navi. And there are certain times where it's enough, even if he doesn't perform miracles, if another Navi who's already been established as an authentic Navi, and that Navi endorses the next Navi, he doesn't need to perform miracles, he's already endorsed. It's not that because we see a miracle, we say, wow, this is amazing, this person must be a Navi. If this wouldn't be written in the Torah, this would not be enough for us. The Torah says that if you see a person that it has all the qualities, intellectually, emotionally, mitzvah-wise, midas-wise, all the qualities of a tzaddik, and this person is going to perform miracles, then the Torah says you can accept him as a Navi. In other words, we're not accepting him as a Navi because I personally am impressed with his miracles, because the Torah says that this is the sign. Like if two witnesses come and they say that we testified that this and this person did such and such, then the Bezdin, the court, rules according to it. Even if he says something which, according to that ruling, this person has to be put to death, God forbid. We trust. Not because I personally say, I trust these two people, I know to trust them. Because the Torah says when two people say something in this and this manner, you can trust them and do everything as if it's certain that this happened. So the same thing is with the Navi. The Hashem tells us this is the criteria, this is how you can judge. If someone has these qualifications and performs miracles, then you know that he's a Navi. Now there's another possibility that doesn't have to perform a miracle, but if there's a different Navi that has already been established as a Navi, authentic according to Torah, and he appoints one of his students, for example, says he's a Navi, you can trust him, then he doesn't have to perform miracles, because we already know from another Navi who was accepted as a Navi that this person is acceptable. So seemingly the Rebbe is referring to the Rabbeim, how one Rebbe appointed or endorsed the following Rebbe. I mean, we know the Rebbe didn't say the words, I am a Navi. The Rebbe always says, the Rabbeim in each generation, they were Navi'im. But from the word the Rebbe says, it's clear that what it means, and also it's very clear to the Rebbe how we're going to interpret these words. But if you look at these words here, just these two words, two lines in the next paragraph, V'yiserim is a Navi Shehid Lo Navi Acheshu Navi. If there's a Navi that someone else appointed him as a Navi, as it was by the Sidur Reinu, I think it means that the Rebbe Rashab appointed the Friedrich Rebbe to become the Rebbe. The Nimshich, and this continues in the following generation through his students. What do those words mean? It continues to the following generation to his students. In other words, all the students are Nevi'im, we're all prophets over him. So obviously the Rebbe is saying that this was the Friedrich Rebbe, and this was continued to the next generation, meaning to the Rebbe. Hareu b'cheskas Navi. So this person is established as a Navi and he doesn't need any more research or investigation. And one is obligated to listen to him even before he does these miracles. And at that point, Osur Lachshev Achrav Olahara B'Nevoasai, you're not even allowed to doubt, and you're not allowed to challenge, and you're not allowed to test him. It's an interesting thing. Before someone is established as a Navi, you have to test him to know if he's a Navi. And you ask him, could you predict the future? If he does it once, twice, three times, if he's established as a Navi. And the Torah says, once he becomes established as a Navi, not only you don't have to test him anymore, but if you test him, you are violating one of the 365 losses. Because it says, also you're not allowed to test him. We can give all sorts of reasons, but the Rebbe always spoke about himself indirectly, and always, when he spoke about the leader of the generation, he always made reference to the Friedrich Rebbe. The Rebbe himself explained it at different occasions, where we actually went through the sikhs here, and the main point, what it comes out of those sikhs are, that the Rebbe is attributing all his ability and all his success and all his gifts to the Friedrich Rebbe, as if the Friedrich Rebbe is functioning through him. So therefore, the Rebbe speaks that way. There's one particular year, and that sikh is printed, and it's also, you can see it on video, you can hear it on tape. It was Yud Aleph Nissan Tav Shem Mem Hei, where the Rebbe spoke about this concept at length. And this is the way the analogy the Rebbe used was that the Friedrich Rebbe needs hands and feet and a physical body to function through in this world, and that is the Rebbe's function. So the Rebbe, in his humbleness, so to speak, always referred to himself as just being a conduit for the Friedrich Rebbe's things, but really, the Rebbe accepted the leadership, and there's no question about that. So the Rebbe is very connected to the Friedrich Rebbe, so it's all one to him. But the Rebbe is still the Rebbe. Yeah. The Rebbe is the one that says that there are seven generations of Chabad, not six. So the Rebbe clearly identifies himself as the seventh, this is the seventh generation. The Rebbe says in many sikhs, Mashiach's name is Menachem. So the Rebbe is clearly identifying with these things, but it's always brought out as a continuation and with the power of by the Friedrich Rebbe. Just recently, something was published, I never noticed it before, but it's a maimer from the Rebbe, where the Rebbe speaks about the Friedrich Rebbe and says the Friedrich Rebbe was the Nasi of our generation. And then the Rebbe adds, and this is also, I put it in brackets, it's not an edited maimer, but obviously everyone remembered that the Rebbe said that. Then the Rebbe added, as we find with Shlomo HaMelech, that even after Shlomo HaMelech was appointed as a king, they still refer to David as the Melech. You hear what I'm saying? That even after Shlomo HaMelech was appointed as a king, they still said, Yechi Adoni HaMelech David La'olam. And that was the Rebbe's explanation to the fact that he's referring to the Friedrich Rebbe as Nasi D'Reinu. which implies that even though he's the Rebbe, you can still refer to the Friedrich Rebbe and see the Rebbe, because it's all one. Let's start with the next paragraph. Yeshna Hira. So there's a Hira, there's a clear directive that you have to publicize to all the people in the generation that Hashem Zachinu, we have the merit and we're fortunate that Hashem chose someone who is Baal Bechira, meaning a human being who has free choice, and this person has qualities where he's Shalei Be'erech, above the other rest of the people in the generation. This person should be the judge of the generation, the advisor of the generation, and the prophet of the generation. And he should teach everyone and give them advice how to serve Hashem and all the people in the generation, not only Yidden, all the people, regarding how to serve Hashem, to learn Torah and do mitzvahs, and also regarding mundane things, how to lead our lives on a daily basis. We should publicize this to everyone to listen to this Navi. Page 30, Ad until HaNevuah Ikris publicizes his primary, this Navi's primary prophecy. What's the primary prophecy? The main prophecy? That La'alta Le'Geula, the take of Miad Mamish, Hineze Mashiach Bo. That Mashiach's coming is imminent, and the Geula, the redemption, is imminent. And with the schus that everybody in the generation has to accept, this is not accepting an extra burden on yourself. It's not accepting some sort of difficult responsibility. This is a privilege, and you're fortunate to have that connection. And the Rebbe says here an interesting thing, that even if someone comes along and says, I'm this great person, that I don't have to listen to this Navi of the generation, because I myself am a great person. I'm very smart, and I'm a very learned, I'm a big scholar. So the Rebbe says, but here, he's not coming as an individual, he's coming as a continuation of all the Rabbeim of all the generations. So it's one against many. And one against many, we always know the rule that we go according to the majority. So the Rebbe is basically saying that I'm not coming here as an individual, but as a continuation of all the Rabbeim. And the last paragraph, the Rebbe says, the last words, when the Rebbe talks about the prophecy, the Rebbe says another thing. Al-Achas Kama V'Kama, this is three lines before the end of the page. Shezek Kvar B'Dibur, that the fact that Mashiach is coming was brought out verbally. In fact, that's what Nevuah means. The word Nevuah in Hebrew comes from the word niv svasayim, which means it's brought out with the lips. Kinog lachreina, in fact, as it's the custom recently, levate dvarim bedibur, to give everything out verbally, including and especially these words, hine hine ba'agula, the redemption is coming imminently. So if anyone had any doubt who the Rebbe was talking about, here the Rebbe says that this inyan about the prophecy has been brought out verbally. In fact, recently, we make every effort to bring it out verbally. Now, there's one footnote here. We don't have enough time to do it. Lina, the next time we'll do it and complete it. And that is where the Rebbe says that, and there's no way that this could be in any way diffused or something can go wrong and so on. And that's the footnote 116, where the Rebbe makes reference to a mimer from the Alter Rebbe, where the Alter Rebbe explains the difference why sometimes there were tzaddikim that gave a date for Mashiach and it never happened. And the reason is because it happened in a spiritual way, but it never happened in the physical sense. And the Rebbe concludes that the Alter Rebbe says, when you will hear it coming out of the mouth of a Navi as a prophecy that Mashiach is coming in a certain time, then once it's pronounced as a prophecy, there's no way you can go back on it. It has to come down to the most physical, tangible, concrete level, which is Begashmias. And that's what the Rebbe is referring to when he says that this is being said as a prophecy. This is this famous Sicha. So therefore, when people have nightmares, or they hear regards from other people's nightmares, maybe we blew it, maybe we had something went wrong, maybe it was only a wish, a hope. Here's, if anyone needs anything more in writing, the Rebbe says this is a prophecy, and there's no way a prophecy can be canceled. It has to happen. The only question is if it's this second or the next second, but it has to happen in a time that these words, Hine Zeh Mashiach Ba, Mashiach's coming is imminent, has to be applicable. The Eibush is all helpful in that, being that Elul does have such a wonderful history. So Elul Tavshin Samach Aleph, which is preparing us for the year of Hakel. We should have the ultimate Hakel in Yerushalayim with Melech HaMashiach.